The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. After years of drug use and running from God, she found herself facing a life in prison.
And it was the first time that I had heard the voice of the Lord. And I heard this voice, not an audible voice, but in my spirit, I heard, go talk to the DA. And so he tells me, you can't do this. And I'm like, I have nothing else to lose. See, when we get to the place of having nothing else to lose, that's when God shows up.
TikTok star Christina Baker, next on Life Today.
Well, I'm so glad you're joining us today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are going to introduce you to the lady that wrote this book, Hope in 60 Seconds. Wow. Encountering the God of the impossible. And you talk about, listen, hope is lacking. Yeah. But hope is available. There really is a blessed hope. There really is hope that's reliable and unshakable. Yeah. And we all need it. Christina Baker has got quite a story. She has a tremendous following on social media, over a million, and she gives hope. The vice president of our ministry here just shouted, Christina gives hope every day. On her website, it's unbelievable, James. Everybody needs to get that hope. Every day she gives it. Well, Christina, welcome to Life Today. I want to ask you, what is your website that they could go and get this hope every day? Yeah. Where would they go online to find that?
I'm at on TikTok as Christina Baker and Facebook under my name as well, and
we got it right there on the screen. You can see it, okay? And you're going to give them hope. All right, I want you. I really just got to know. I got to know about the title, Hope in 60 Seconds. Because see, you're sitting here saying, "Well, I've got at least 20 or 30 minutes, James. Can I get some hope?" Well, she says you can get it in 60 seconds. Okay, why the title?
Yeah. Sometimes, James, we think that God needs a lifetime to transform our lives. But what I found with everything that I went through in my life was that in one moment of surrender, one moment of just yielding my heart, and I wouldn't even say that my heart was totally wide open. It was just an inkling of, God, if you're real, help me, save me, change me. And in that moment, he came in and changed the course of history for my life. I grew up. My dad was an atheist. My mom was a non-practicing Catholic. There was a lot of abuse in our home as a little girl when my parents divorced. I started cutting myself. I started getting into Marilyn Manson. I don't know if y'all remember who he is.
Oh,
but,
yes. Oh, yeah.
You know, just, you know, he's a professed Satanist. And I found solace in that music because it was like I could relate to somebody who felt dead like I felt dead inside. And so when you don't have hope is a person, and his name is Jesus. And when you don't know him, you have no hope. And so I went from cutting myself and, you know, getting into the, I was drinking at the age of 14, started getting into drugs. I was going to the bars. We lived in a country called, it was in South America, Bolivia. And one night I came home and my stepdad was like, you've got to go. And so they put me, my mom, you know, had to decide basically either I stay in this house and get hurt by my stepdad, or they send me back to my dad, which I hadn't seen him in 10 years. So they put me on a one-way ticket from Bolivia to Maui, Hawaii, where they believe my dad was. He shows up 6 hours later at the airport. I have a duffel bag, my guitar on my back with my entire life in it. And he tells me that he's like, this is crazy, you're here. I need to tell you something. And he says, I'm homeless and I'm living in a tent on the beach now. And the last memory that I had of my dad was he was an oil executive, but he had a bad cocaine problem. So he, you know, like many people, lived a double life. So we were homeless, living on the beach for some time. Interestingly enough, we bonded during that time. I got to know my father for the first time. And then I got off the beach and started going from house to house. My rubber meets the road moment, James, was when, I mean, I was started living a double life just like my dad was. I was drugging all night and then, you know, working during the day. And I'm sitting at my computer after I had gotten arrested. I'd gotten arrested for drug possession, and I was out on bond, and a man comes up to me, taps me on the shoulder, and he says, I have a word from the Lord for you. And I knew he was kind of like a part-time pastor, and I'm like, a word from the Lord? Like, I don't even know what that means. Like, I'm an atheist, or at least I believe I am. And he says, we have prayer meetings every day on the third floor, and I want to invite you out. And I was thinking, like, how would he have known that I was contemplating how to take my life that night? Mm. And I had a baby. And so I was like, I could hear this voice inside my head saying, he'll be better off without you. And it was just like luring me. And I was like, I'm going to do this. And then I get the tap on the shoulder. I walk into this break room, and there's people pacing the floor praying like I had never seen before. I'd seen people pray the rosaries, but I had never seen people talk. If there is a God, I thought, these people have come face to face with him. And then they start putting their hands on me, and I'm like, this is really strange, you know, when you've never been around this. And he opens up from the book of Jeremiah, and he says, this is a matter of life or death. And I have this thought of me dying in a car accident. I used to drive home drunk from the bars Monday through Monday, so that wasn't something unusual. That I believe that that was what was next for me. Mm. That was like, there was a life preserver that was thrown to me in that moment. I rejected Jesus all of my life. I never had an issue with the Buddhism or the Sikhs or the Muslims, but I had an issue with Christianity. For some reason, it bothered me so much. But for the first time, I wasn't bothered, because this man comes up to me and says, this is a matter of life or death. And he says, would you like to accept Jesus into your heart? And I'm like, I don't know who you are, but whoever you are, come into my life, save me, save my baby, help us. And at that moment, I felt an infilling, something I had never experienced in my life. It's like I was looking, the peace that I began to experience in that moment, Betty, was something I was looking for in the drugs and in the alcohol. But now I'm not high, I'm totally sober, and I have this peace come over me from the top of my head to the tips of my toes. And it was like something filled me. And the boulders that I was carrying around for 20 plus years of my life were lifted in an instant. So when I say hope in 60 seconds, the enemy tries to feed us lies that it's never going to happen, that your kids are never going to come to the Lord, your marriage is never going to get restored. That thing that you've been believing God is never going to happen. But for me, I've encountered the exact opposite, because it was one moment of like a little window in my heart being open, going, if you're real, come in. And when I always tell people this, that is the most powerful prayer anybody could ever pray, especially if they're kind of on the fence of believing if God is real or not. If you're real, reveal yourself to me. Because it's like the Lord is like, oh, I've been waiting all your life for you to pray that prayer. Let me reveal my heart to you. Let me reveal my love to you. So that's
60 seconds.
This is 60 seconds. My entire life has been that since I met Jesus, James, is that, yes, sometimes things do take time. But the moment that we cry out to him, the scriptures tell us that at the moment we cry out, he hears us. He stoops down to hear the prayers of his people. And so that is where...
You know, I try to hear him all the time, and he really does. I wish everybody could know just how much he wants to talk to you. Yeah. He really does have a beautiful voice and a clear voice. It can be very loud and strong, or it can be a still, small voice. But I just really heard him whisper to me while you were talking here that you don't have to give him a life that's ready. You can give him all the broken pieces of a very broken life.
Yeah.
Christina, to me, is like a bright light. And she was just total darkness. Would you please just say to him right now, like she did? Maybe you'd have to say, I don't even know. I don't know what I believe. But I got broken pieces, broken heart, broken relationships. Take the broken pieces. Make something beautiful, like you have with Christina. Would you ask him? You want somebody to pray with you? That line's there, paid for by love.
Wow.
Please call it. Christina, your story is so beautiful. If somebody goes through the book, what do you think will happen as they read the pages of your story, because once you found the hope, you know, you end up in ministry with a church in Austin, a very needy city, very needy town where I grew up. God have mercy.
Yeah.
God heal Austin. God heal the University of Texas. Everything associated with it. What do you believe can happen if people go through the book? What do you want to happen in their lives? Yeah.
James, the scriptures tell us that we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The Bible is full of testimonies. We don't just, when I open the Word of God, I don't see theology, even though theology is a beautiful thing. I see stories of people that were touched by God, wrecked by God, and touched by the fire of God. When we begin to release the word of our testimony, it gives, that faith begins to rise up in the life of that person, where what he does for one, he does for all. And so my prayer writing this book, my husband and I, we wept over that book. We cried out that the Lord would just release the fire of his presence over every heart that needs an encounter with him, that needs a touch from him. Because from the Lord delivering me from drugs in 90 days, I mean, I went from, you know, just on 10 different kinds of pills to all just a lot of heavy, heavy drugs, and almost having an abortion with my son, and my drug dealer's girlfriend pounding on the door in the middle of the day, right before I'm on my way to my appointment for an abortion, saying, I know you don't believe in God, but I'm asking you right now not to kill this child. And I collapse on the floor, still not a believer. I wasn't gonna meet the Lord for a long time but I collapse at that moment, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. And she says, my God will provide for this baby, the drug dealer's girlfriend, because God can use anybody he wants.
Wow.
They don't need to be somebody that's in church or maybe has walked with the Lord all their life. God can use anybody. And God used that woman at that day to intercept an abortion in one moment, James.
And that's what he's wanting to do for people watching right now. You got in trouble because of your drugs. You had a pretty serious case, and you could have gone to prison.
Yeah.
Maybe for an extended period of time, right? Pretty serious. What happened?
I got pulled over that night, taken. I was out on bond, and I had to go to be arraigned a few months later. I show up to the courthouse in Houston, Texas, and my attorney comes up to me. He's like, look, you know, you're going to do some time in county. And I'm like, I can't go back. I didn't want my son to be taken to the biological father. You know, he's a drug dealer. He was like, no, you're going to do some time. We're going to try to work out a plea deal. And it was the first time that I had heard the voice of the Lord. And I heard this voice, not an audible voice, but in my spirit, I heard, go talk to the DA. And so he tells me, you can't do this. And I'm like, I have nothing else to lose. See, when we get to the place of having nothing else to lose, that's when God shows up. And maybe somebody is listening right now. Maybe you're at the place of, I have nothing else to lose. But it's in the place of where your back is up against the wall that gives God the opportunity to move in ways that you could have never moved. Because it's at the moment of your surrender, if you're listening to this right now and you're believing God for a miracle, it's at the moments where you've run out of options and he becomes your only option, there's no better place to be. So I'm in this courtroom, Betty, and we walk out and the DA says, so what's up? And I was like, I don't know what's up, but these people that were discipling me have been telling me that God is truth. So I'm like, I'm going to tell them the truth about what happened that night. And he's like, so shoot. And I'm like, I'm not the person that was in that car September 2nd. And I'm asking you, please forgive me. The drugs were mine. I give a full confession. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I know people tell you every day that God has changed them, but Jesus Christ has saved my life. And I'm deeply sorry for what I've done. And he's like, you know, we all make mistakes sometimes. Have a great day. We walk in the courtroom. I know my attorney looks at me. He's like, you're done. You gave a full confession with no plea deal. You're done. So what felt like 15 hours was like 15 minutes. I'm sitting there. And at this point was a moment of true surrender, James. And I said, Lord, I'll share with people in jail about how good you've been to me. Just take care of my baby. Mm. And that was the moment of surrender, because, you know, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Yeah. And I was still squandering, like, no, I can't go back. And the Lord was waiting for that moment of me. Okay, I let go. Not my will be done, but yours. My attorney walks up to me, pale, holds up a yellow piece of paper that changes the course of my life, and it says order of dismissal. Wow. And I'm, well, what's going on here? And he says, Christina, you're free to go. And I'm like, what does this mean? And he says, you're free to go. They've dismissed the case. And I walk out of that courtroom. You know when you've been touched by God, James, and you know this too, Betty, you become undignified. You don't care what you look like. You don't look, I looked crazy living for the devil for so many years. I don't care if I look crazy living for Jesus now. I'm screaming at the top of my lungs, hallelujah. Like I had seen these people, they were praying in this, that's how they worship God. So sometimes you have to watch other people love God and learn how to love them yourself. And I heard that voice again say, you see that judge in there? You see that woman? I'm above the judicial system in the United States, and I've been here your entire life watching over you when you were on the beach, when you got a brain tumor diagnosis. Every single moment I was with you when you almost overdosed, I've been with you the whole time. And it was at that moment, it was my woman at the well moment, because I was like, I locked eyes with the man of fire. Wow. I locked eyes with Jesus, and when he revealed his love to me, I was never the same. So that was the moment that set me on the course of, I will live the rest of my days telling everybody that what you've done for me, you'll do for everybody.
And that is the beautiful thing about it. All Jesus' way is for us to ask him. It's simple. We say, Jesus, come into my life and change me. It doesn't have to be something hard. Yeah, you've had a difficult life, but he's been there all the time waiting for you to ask him.
Yeah.
And he will do it, won't he? You're a perfect testimony of that. We all are.
We have seen Jesus so clearly in you. I hope that you'll get the book, Hope in 60 Seconds. Matter of fact, we'll gladly send it to any of you who will give my children hope for life. In our mission feeding outreach. But boy, this is, you know, it's not going to take you a long time to read this. It is, it's so well written. It's beautiful. It's beautifully laid out. And Christina, we see Jesus in you so clearly. You're just beautiful. Jesus is beautiful in you. You look beautiful dressed up in Jesus. And your website again?
ChristinaBaker.com.
And I hope you'll go visit that. Father, I pray for everyone watching right now, that if they don't know this Jesus that Christina has presented so beautifully, that they would invite you, just like she did, to come in to their life and to be their life. And you will be, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
If you would like someone to pray with you, see the number there. It's Paid For By Love. Feel free to call it. Christina, we're going to show our viewers what we show them. If people watch Life Today, they know they're not only going to hear about life today and have a chance to receive life today and forever in Christ, but they're going to be able to give life today. You're going to be able to share life today. I want you to listen to our mission director, John Yates. John worked with our pastors for many years and went to the mission field many times and with churches and led them. But now he's our missions director. I want you to listen to him. I want you to listen to God speak through him about the concerns that I know you will want to be the answer to. You'll want to be the miracle that is so desperately needed. Watch this not only carefully, but watch it prayerfully, please.
So I'm sitting here in Vessa, Angola. It's a very rural countryside area. And I just listened to Rosa here share her story of the loss of her children. It's so tragic. She's lost three of her children to hunger. And she was sharing the story of her oldest child that died from malnutrition. He was 4 years old. Mama, I'm going. And she said it caused her to literally faint. And when she woke up, he was gone. Can you imagine Mama, I'm going. I know that you love Rosa and Clementine. Without mission feeding, we cannot guarantee that Clementina is not going to follow her brothers and sisters in that same path of, Mama, I'm going. Do all that you can to make sure that villages like this don't have to lose any more children. That no mother ever has to listen to her child say, Mama, I'm going. Please help.
Oh boy. Betty. Two. You know, when our little daughter, she had three teenage children when she left us. She just was asleep. And we knew she woke up in the arms of Jesus, but that's tough, isn't it?
It is, and I'm sure you're sitting there weeping along with me and James, because how can you not be? And if you were that mother and your little four-year-old said, Mother, I'm going, can you understand the heartache that mother must have felt? I do. I understand it. Let's help these children, let's feed them, that they don't have to die because of lack of nutrition. We have the opportunity. So join with us. Will you do that right now?
I just... You know, when you lose a child, it's been so well said, you live the rest of your life with a broken heart. And I have a broken heart, but I don't just have a broken heart because we lost a child. I have a broken heart because of all the broken hearts. And I know the only one who can heal the broken hearts and the ache and the pain and the memories, they don't go away. He just holds our broken heart. He's the shoulder to lean on. And I try to be a shoulder for people to lean on. A lot of big men have told me I'm the greatest shoulder they ever leaned on. I've tried to be a shoulder for a lot of people to lean on because I care. And the viewers who watch our show care. We don't give because we think we're going to get this big return. We know that God blesses those who sow. And He says He'll provide when you give, and He is your treasure, and you put your treasure in the kingdom of heaven purpose. He'll see to it that you can keep being a blessing. I know that. But we actually just give to bless, to give life. Life Today, it's the name of our show. We're trying to share life with every testimony, every story. Such beautiful ones you see here on Life Today. Every day you see life. But we give life today, and we're asking you to do it right now. Whether it's providing water or setting the sexually trafficked free or giving food to the starving. Saving a mother's child, becoming their miracle, so they don't have to hear, Mama, I'm going. Father, would you please help everybody watching right now to go and get their bank card or check or whatever and make the best gift they can to give the greatest gift, to give life, life itself, and even life eternal, because we will share your son Jesus with them. Not just in word only, but in demonstration, in deed. So please help them to be part of the deed, doing what you say in Jesus' name. Would you go and get your bank card and use it like a check? We've got some gifts to send you. I guarantee you don't like them. We don't send you anything that doesn't bless you. But you're going to be given the greatest blessing. You're going to be given life. You're going to be the miracle some mother longs for. She doesn't have to hear a child say, I'm going. She's going to watch them live, watch them play. I shall be happy because you gave them life. And we're going to point them to the life, to Jesus. And they're going to believe because of your gift. Get your bank card, dial the number, go online, and make the gift God put on your heart. Help us feed as many kids as you can. Please.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering and facing severe malnutrition. Lack of rainfall and severe drought has led to one of the deadliest food crises in 40 years. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you the Life Planner. Bound in soft-touch leather, this planner will help you in your daily walk, with space for you to record your appointments, goals, inspirational notes, and prayers. With your gift of $100 or more, please request a scripture pen set, perfect companions to the Life Planner. These beautiful wooden pens are inscribed with scripture references to keep your heart focused on God's plans for you. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Let the Children Come. This beautiful bronze is a reminder to care for children around the world in both word and deed. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
By the way, I want to just say thanks. You're going to love these pens, and you're going to love using this planner, this journal. It's absolutely beautiful. I tell you what, and you know, the Let Them Come, beautiful, beautiful bronze. Let the little children come to me. That's what it is. It's just Jesus and the children. And if you would like to have hope in 60 seconds because you need hope and you want the book, you help us become hope for these kids, and we'll gladly send it to you. You just ask for it. Christina, we just want to say thanks for being such a blessing. The beauty of Jesus is in you. You just keep sharing him, okay?
Thank you, James.
Thanks for being with us, Betty.
Thank you.
Thank you for watching Life Today. And as I say, thanks for sharing life today. I hope you share life every day.
So that is what led to the deepest depression that I've ever had.
Grammy winner Mandisa shares how God pulled her out of the dark. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.